Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, good afternoon. I'm your host for Doing Good is Good for Business. My name is Quinn Tu, and we have a really awesome topic today. We're going to talk about the power of good that you can have while shopping. Our leading lady today is Jane Mosbacher Morris. She started and founded a company called To The Market, and she is the founder and CEO at this point. To The Market curates survivor-made goods from around the world, and one of their main mission is to help women become independent after experiencing some kind of a traumatic event, whether that be escaping a war-torn country or domestic violence survivor, to becoming better and to becoming healed individuals who can contribute to our community. Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so pleased that we were able to get you on the show because I was so excited when I came across your book, Buy the Change You Want to See. We'll definitely get into that, but first, tell the listener a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I started my career working in the government. So I was working at the U.S. Department of State in the Office of Counterterrorism, which really focused on helping to address the sort of rising challenges that the U.S. was having and the world was having in terrorism. And it was a really extraordinary opportunity to travel around the world and to spend time with communities that were being impacted by terrorism. And I actually got to spend a lot of time with women who were being, really disproportionately impacted, as they tend to be disproportionately impacted by conflict. And the time that I got to spend with them was very informative in helping me develop policies that would help protect them, help empower them, and help engage them on the issue of terrorism. And then I went on to work actually in the Secretary's office on global women's issues, on a broader sort of set of security issues, so not just national security, but what we call human security, where it's literally the security of your person. So that includes things like domestic violence and sexual assault and human trafficking. And then I actually went to go work for Cindy McCain at the McCain Institute, specifically on human trafficking and labor exploitation. So all of that, was an interesting journey that led me to ultimately start my business, To The Market, which partners with vulnerable communities around the world to really engage them through the dignity of work to produce products that now you can buy in places like Target and Bloomingdale's and Dillard's.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of those products come up, but you bring a whole lot of credibility with you to this enterprise that I haven't seen as very common. Usually, it's somebody who has one personal experience while they're traveling or doing something that propels them to get into the social enterprise space. You've really got a big picture and overview, as well as the on-the-grounds experience as well. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, there are so many really incredible businesses that are focused on the dignity of work, and particularly focused on the dignity of work for people who have been traditionally overlooked or undervalued. And, you know, I know that the To The Market team is really excited to be sort of a part of the fabric of all of those businesses. And we are super excited about finding ways to scale that business model and, you know, make it as big as any other sourcing and manufacturing business, so that we can bring these people that we've partnered with, who are, you know, hungry for opportunity and just as talented as, you know, the rest of us, give them an opportunity to really participate in the global market.
Yeah. I appreciate that, because I don't think enough businesses think about the issues in the way that you come at them. As some context for our listeners, when were your government experience in relation to when you wrote your book on buying the change that you want to see?
So I worked at the State Department from 2007 to 2012. And then I worked for Mrs. McCain from 2012 to 2013. And then I actually didn't write, the book didn't come out actually until the end of January of 2019. So there was a lot Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's almost a brand new book, as I realize that we're in September of 2019.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's a brand new book. I mean, it, you know, came out this year.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. It really was a while before you were able to synthesize and put what you had experienced or seen into the book. So then did To The Market start after you left the McCain Institute?
So I started working on the concept after I left the Institute, but we didn't become a corporation until 2016. And you're right. It took a long time for me to synthesize the ideas that are encapsulated in By the Change You Want to See. I mean, so much so that actually when I started my business, I had a friend of mine from high school who had become a literary agent in New York approached me and say, hey, you should seriously consider writing a book. You know, this is something that I think would be an interesting story to tell. And I said, you know, even at that point when I was starting the business, I said, thank you so much, but I like truly don't feel like I have anything to say that's worthwhile at this point. You know, it took me even a couple of years of running the business to really feel like I had any sort of smidge of authority on, you know, what the actual mechanics were of creating and sustaining and growing jobs for, again, communities that I think have been underserved, underengaged, just, you know, not pulled into the global marketplace in a way that I think, you know, they should be.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We could have a completely separate conversation on your feelings about being under-qualified to talk about an area that you clearly, to an objective outsider, have a lot of experience in. But we'll stay on one topic for the show, and maybe we'll pick that conversation up at another point in time. One of the reasons why To The Market got onto my radar as well is that you are in the social enterprise space. Help me remember, are you a certified B Corp and or a benefit corporation?
You know, we're not yet, but that's something that's on our you know, it's certainly something that we think is awesome and has been on our radar. It's honestly been a bandwidth challenge of us, you know, literally going through the certification process, but it's certainly on our short list of things to do in the near term.
Okay. Yeah, I know that you, with all the values that you exhibit and what you're doing, that it would be a natural fit. Let's talk
Definitely.
A little bit about the business. How is To The Market structured, and what are the biggest things that gets you excited?
So we're structured in a way where we have businesses, and that can be small nonprofits even, who come to us who say, you know, I buy product, whether it's, you know, I buy 100 T-shirts for the end of the year outing that I do, or, you know, a client who's buying 150,000, you know, units mm-hmm. of a product. Come to us and say, you know, we want our products to better align with the values we espouse. And so we then help that client, oftentimes using technology, depending on the type of product, to then help identify a producer that we have as a business already vetted from an environmental and a social standpoint. And once we identify a producer, we then are able to provide product options to our clients. So if you came to me and said, Jane, I need 100 T-shirts and I really want them to be women-made in a women-owned and operated facility, I could then say, great, here are your options. Here's the pricing. Is this something you want to move forward with? And if you do, then To The Market would then go into production and oversee the manufacturing and delivery of those products on your behalf. So our vision is trying to create as turnkey of an experience as possible for our clients to access these non-traditional suppliers and give these non-traditional suppliers an opportunity to, again, participate in the global marketplace, which is why the name of the business, To The Market, is so very literal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there are a lot of studies that show, you know, consumers, as powerless as they feel, really do have a lot of power based on where they choose to spend their money. And we forget that a lot, because we often think that the big corporations have all of the power in the exchange, and that's not always true.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I would tell anybody that regardless of your budget, you know, regardless of whether you're the primary purchaser in your household or in your, you know, if you work, and whether that's a nonprofit or a massive corporation, I mean, everybody buys product. Everybody buys product. You buy coffee, you buy, you know, baby gifts, you buy massive, you know, if you're a retailer, you're buying, you know, massive collections to put in a store. Everybody buys product, and realizing that when you choose who you buy your product from and what that product is made of, it is an opportunity for you to have an impact on both the planet and people, because ultimately corporations are driven by consumer and employee and investor demands. So even if you're one individual and you're saying, you know, I, you know, feel like I have, you know, an average income of, you know, whatever it is, I have an average American income, which the average American income dual household is around 70,000. If you even, you know, reflect what sort of the latest Department of Labor statistics reflect, which is that, you know, the average American household is saving, you know, saving a percentage, using a percentage on mortgage, you know, using a percentage on fixed costs, and then the rest are sort of being used on variable costs. You're still probably spending tens of thousands of dollars on things like food and clothing and the type of car you drive every year. And, you know, the average American family, if they are spending a couple of tens of thousands of dollars a year on these types of goods, is probably not able to afford giving away that much money each year. So you think about, okay, if I can't afford to give, you know, $20,000 a year away to charity, which most of us can't, maybe I make the decision that I'm going to, you know, pick one food category that I'm going to commit to buying fair trade, or I'm going to pick, you know, one sort of type of product that I buy all the time that I'm going to make sure is made of a environmentally friendly material. And I'm going to start there.
That's a very inspirational way to think about the issues and the problems and the solutions, because sometimes if you are looking too globally at an issue, it becomes overwhelming. So thinking about just what one step you could take as an individual is something that's a little bit more manageable.
Totally. I mean, I always give the, you know, the parallel of thinking of being a conscious consumer, like thinking about deciding you want to eat healthier, where if you suddenly sort of decide, oh my gosh, I just learned about like sugar and calories and fat and, you know, GMO products, what am I going to do? Like, I can only eat celery for the rest of my life. It could be really overwhelming and is usually not very realistic when you make sort of these like grand statements about like, I'm going to exist on grass for the rest of my life. But if you, you know, which every diet, like every nutritionist will say, like, start small and manageable. And it's the same thing around conscious consumerism. It's this idea of saying, like, I'm literally going to take a single category that I spend money on. Maybe I am in a period of time where I have a ton of friends getting married, and I'm going to commit to buying the wedding gifts from, you know, from small businesses, because that's what I care about. I care about supporting small business. And so I'm going to make sure that I'm like, you know, I'm going to that mom and pop shop in my town. And that's going to be my way of being a more conscious consumer.
Yeah. I want to get a little bit of an understanding of how you connect with the producers of these products. You know, you teased out earlier that you had a chance to travel around the world as part of your job with the State Department. But I understand as you got into the market, you've also done a fair amount of traveling in sourcing out products too.
Yes, I often joke that when people say, where do I live? I often want to respond, I live in the middle seat of, you know, of a economy row of, you know, some airline that fits the time and costing of whatever flight I have to be on.
Wait, Jane, you travel so much, you must get frequent flyer mileage that puts you out of the middle seat.
You know what, though?
I
have, like, the lowest tiered frequent flyer status on, like, several airlines because I'm, like, still very much so, like, what timing is best, what's the least expensive.
Right.
So I'm not, I mean, when you're in startup, you know, startup garage band mode, like I don't have the luxury of being like, I will always fly Delta, you know, even though I love it, you know, because you really have to sort of, it's like, what is the least expensive and fits the timing and what has Wi-Fi. I will spring for Wi-Fi. That will be like a one premium I will give myself is, you know, can I find an airline that has Wi-Fi? But no, I travel a tremendous amount. I mean, next week, as I think about a typical week, I'll literally be in three cities in a single week. And that's totally normal.
Wow.
So I know.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot. But,
so how are you connecting with the producers of these products?
So I, you know, because of my time working overseas and working on international development, I have a really robust international network of, you know, of contacts, of local contacts, of, you know, friends that are living and working in countries all over the world. And it really just sort of multiplies on itself. I mean, given that I worked on women's issues, I worked on security issues, I worked on human trafficking, on labor exploitation, I have a really robust network in a lot of countries. And that then gives us access to meeting producers that I think as someone who maybe didn't have that background would have a much harder time identifying. So, for example, if I'm going into a place called like Calcutta, I might go in and have one or two meetings on the books with different sort of fair trade makers, let's say, and then I'll have left having met with five or six, because people, I'll get on the ground and they'll be like, oh, have you met with so-and-so? You need to go, you know, go over here and meet with them. And so it's, you know, it's like any sort of network effect where it's like, you know, they tell their two friends and they tell their two friends and et cetera, et cetera. And then suddenly, you know, you have a friend group in Calcutta and there you are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Are there any kinds of guidance when you're looking at product? I know you mentioned a couple of times that you want to do something that gives women opportunities or that build economic mobility for under or overlooked groups, underutilized maybe another term for it. But do you say yes to every single vendor who approaches you with a proposal?
No, yeah, which is really hard, actually, because sometimes you'll meet people who are doing amazing, amazing things, and they don't fit your criteria for one reason or another.
Yes.
Yeah, so we look at, you know, non-traditional suppliers, which means that they are not sort of already producing for big brands and retailers or corporations in the United States. So we're really looking at, like, how are we adding value? Are we giving you connectivity? And then we're looking at who are they employing and how are they employing them? And then we're looking at, you know, what kind of environmental practices have you put in place to help reduce your impact? And so there's quite, I mean, and I'm giving you a high-level macro description of what our vetting process is, but it's actually quite stringent.
Sure. Well, I don't want you to give away the company's secret sauce, because I do want you to still be around. But I know that in this particular area, there's been a proliferation of groups and or businesses that are doing this, which is wonderful, right? It helps lift up everybody in the community. But I also know that a lot of social enterprises are mission driven, so usually there's some kind of affinity to the vendors that you would be working with.
Let's talk a little bit. I mean, there has to be a social and environmental component to our partners, without question.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the kinds of product that you're engaged in or involved in at this point. Give us a preview of what we can expect to look for from To The Market.
Well, we produce apparel accessories, which includes bags, jewelry, like little pouches, so not just tote bags and backpacks, but like little, you know, pencil bags, and home goods. And we both do private label manufacturing, which means that we produce products on behalf of brands or retailers that has their name on it. And we do branded product where it says To The Market's name on that product. And, you know, if anybody's listening and they're in front of a computer, you can, for example, go and type into the market on Bloomingdale's website and find a variety of home goods and jewelry. Or you could go to something like a Dillard's website and look at their juniors collection. We produce for a line called GB. And many of the shirts that we've produced are labeled ethically made in the title of the product. And find our goods that way.
Wow. And I am also seeing on the To The Market website that there's a variety of jewelry, home goods, paper goods, clothing, shoes, gift items. So, yeah, you cover quite a number of things. What has been the most challenging aspect of your job as CEO of this awesome company that you've created?
I think there are a lot of misconceptions about the scale of opportunity for producing ethically and from sourcing from non-traditional suppliers. And I think it's been a learning curve, and I've seen a big shift. You know, we're sort of crossing the chasm, as people would say, as it relates to people realizing that you can have a transparent supply chain and you can have fair labor practices and still produce beautiful product at scale. So I think, you know, for a while there, like right when we were starting, you know, we were like a tiny bit, I don't want to say ahead of our time, because there were tons of people that were doing this, but I think that we got more pushback than we get now. And people are finally realizing that ethical or sustainable doesn't have to mean, you know, super, it can be the same quality, it can feel just as great, and it can be a similar price point. And so, and really, you know, I think the book has helped, Buy the Change You Want to See has helped people. You know, I often will send that to people in advance of meeting with them, or I've even had, you know, really precious friends who have sent the book to people that they know that are in positions of purchasing power to sort of help them better understand what this looks like, because I think there is still the misconception also that, if I'm not in a role where I'm literally a buyer at a retailer, that there's not a lot I can do. Or if I don't have a ton of money that I spend in my personal life, there's not a ton that I can do. And what Buy the Change You Want to See tries to do, and of course it's far from perfect, but what we try to do is just provide super simple, accessible suggestions for how people can have a positive impact from an environmental or social standpoint with sort of purchases that they're making on a pretty regular, you know, not sort of unusual basis.
Mm-hmm. So you shared with us one way to take baby steps into doing something that is more of a conscious buying. What would be an example of something that would be more with the environment in mind? What would be a step that our listeners can take?
Yeah, so one of my favorite sort of mini hacks is like the sort of box text in the book is called Just Say No. And it's this idea of literally saying no to things that you just like actually don't need. So that could be things like, you know, if I go into Gap and I buy a pair of jeans, I literally will put the jeans in my purse, like no tissue, no bag. If I order pizza or Chinese or whatever, I will literally either, you know, say in the notes if I'm using, you know, an app or if I'm calling, I'll say like, please don't bring me any napkins. Please don't bring me any condiments. Please don't bring me, you know, any sort of excess fill in the blank, because we often end up with so much stuff that we like literally don't need and it goes right in the trash. Another thing that I do is because I travel as much as I do, I have some really amazing reusable coffee cups that I carry with me you know, obviously like are travelers. And I almost always get a discount at coffee shops for bringing my own. So it's not just, you know, it's not just better for the environment, but it's also saving me money, which is awesome. Who doesn't like that?
Yeah, no, those are great tips, yes. And who doesn't like saving money? I definitely agree with you. For listeners who are listening and are inspired by your story or want to get in touch with you to further the conversation, how would you like them to reach out to you?
They can check out the business. We have a lot of contact us sort of sections at tothemarket.com. They can certainly follow along. I think I'm most active on social media on Instagram, at Jane Mossbacher Morris. I know it's a handful, but hopefully in the show notes we'll spell out my extremely long name. But I try to
we will.
You know, great. I try to be pretty active on Instagram, particularly in stories, and just sort of provide fun updates there. And yeah, to the market, or find me on Instagram, or if you want to follow the business, we're pretty active on Twitter, and that handle is @letsgoTTM.
And there are some really beautiful pictures on Instagram, so definitely check that out. I will have to look at Twitter. I did not see that before in my preparation for this, but I will go back and look.
Oh, good.
And, you know, amazingly, the time has flown by, as always, and I'm so inspired by all the work that you're doing. But that's our show for today, and I'd really like to say thank you to Jane for being our leading lady, and a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and around the world. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. and on Fridays at 2 p.m. I've sincerely enjoyed being your host, and have a great week, everybody. Until we meet again, please remember that when you do good for your business, it's not only for your people, for the planet, but also for the environment. So keep doing good, everybody.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.